me, Richie T, and on the phone, I think this is so awesome that you guys would take the time, even if you were here in the States, but all the way from Luxembourg, it's Kyle Simmons from Bastille. Thanks for joining me.
No problem at all, no problem.
Now, you guys are doing a big foreign tour, and then you guys come back to a sold-out show here in Salt Lake.
Yes. Well, yeah, in fact, I just heard that it just recently sold out over the weekend, is that right?
Yes.
Amazing. Amazing.
It's not that amazing. We knew it was going to. We knew it was going to because you guys are coming. See what I did there?
No. That was nice of you to say, Richie. That was really nice.
I can't wait. I'm looking forward to having you guys here and be able to meet you in person and see you guys live and participate in what I feel like is more than just going to a rock show. So I'm excited about that.
Well, I mean, we're all really looking forward to coming over and sort of visiting the States that we haven't been to yet. And we're so looking forward to coming over to Salt Lake City. We're really, really excited about it.
Kyle, let me ask you this. I did a little, I don't like to call it stalking because I think that has a negative connotation, but I did a little research. We'll call it research. And I found your Twitter feed and I looked at your avatar for your Twitter feed where it's you shirtless with cats. Can we talk about that for a second?
Please talk about that. I think, one of our amazing fans somewhere managed to find out that I have a soft spot for cats, and so mocked up. Unfortunately, it's not my body, but they managed to mock up this incredible thing where it's my face on this body with a lot of cats and kittens, and why not? You know,
why not
live our dreams?
Is there a picture out there somewhere with you and your body and a bunch of cats?
There can be. We can hopefully try and make this happen when we come out Salt Lake City. If you guys can arrange for a lot of cats to be there, then my body will certainly be there.
Kyle, I need you
and
to.
Maybe we can.
I need you to not promise something if you're not willing to deliver on it, because I am willing to get a bunch of cats and a photographer. If that's something you're up to doing. Now, I'm just giving you that out right now, but if you say yes when you come to town, it's cats and a half-naked photographer.
Well, let's see how good the show goes. Okay? Let's see how good the show goes, and then and we'll gauge it from there.
All right. So maybe a little after-party thing. Like, come for the show, stay for the shirtless cat photos afterwards. Okay.
That's it. You know, most people like popping champagne, hot tub. You know, maybe if all goes well, there'll be a lot of kittens and some shirtless photos. Who knows?
One can only hope. I want to talk about your guys' music. I found it really cool, the whole cover album that you guys did, the Other People's Heartaches.
Yes.
Talk about that, because I think that's just kind of an interesting concept, from covering and mashing up all that to delivering it out free to everyone.
Well, I think the original idea was that it was like a sort of mixtape. Like, you get it a lot more. We gather in America, like in sort of rappers and stuff, and like Frank Ocean and but like it's just one person who's done a mixtape. But there's so many others, we sort of had the idea because we knew that the album wasn't going to be ready for a while, and so we didn't just sort of want to just sort of not have anything to put out. So we were like, hey, we'll have, like, because we've basically been playing What Would You Do by City High, and the reason we started playing that song was because if people ever, which is very rarely, ask for an encore, we literally didn't have enough songs yet because we were so new, and so we basically come on and play this cover of What Would You Do by City High, and people were sort of like, I don't know where I remember the song from, but I know all the words, and everyone starts dancing and singing. They're like, "What is this song?" And so basically, from that, we sort of like, "Well, how about we get like loads of songs that are sort of like that, like from our, like from growing up, or songs that we used to dance to ridiculously in clubs, whenever." And let's sort of mash it together with like film quotes, because we're all really heavily influenced by film and stuff as well. And so like film quotes, and then some of our songs, and then we got some of our friends to come in and sing our songs, and I mean, it was like making this whole sort of like half an hour sort of flowing sort of mixtape. Like, each song goes into the next and the next. And yeah, it was basically just so we could sort of keep releasing stuff and we sort of hoped that people liked it. And in the end, they did. And so then we were lucky enough to put together another one, Other People's Heartache Part 2, with a whole bunch of new sort of songs and covers and mashups, and we got a lot more friends in and stuff. And yeah, it was just a lot of fun, really. And because it was a lot of fun, and because, you know, at first it was incredibly illegal, because we'd taken all these samples from all these different places, and the idea was never to try and sell it or anything. It was just a bit of fun that we wanted, just a bit of fun we were having, and we wanted people to sort of be able to have it for free, and so we put it up online. Unfortunately, they're not up anymore because of the massive legal issues there were, mm-hmm. all the samples that we got, and all the film quotes and stuff. But you know, it was just a lot of fun until it all got shut down.
I love that the whole impetus of that was, you're playing a great show, people are loving it, and they're like, we want more Bastille, and y'all just look at each other and go, I don't know, what do we got? What do we got here? This!
We have nothing left. that's what came about.
You guys have been together, what, about 3 years? Is that right?
Yeah, about 3 years, yeah.
And it started out just being a solo project with Dan, and then he kind of incorporated everyone else. How come?
Well, he started out sort of playing under the name sort of Dan Smith, and he toured with Will and Woody, who are the drummer and bassist, and then all of a sudden he'd written a bunch of new songs, but with the idea he was like, I want these songs to be sort of in a they're much more bandy, like the new songs that he'd written, and so then he got me in, like, because we'd met at a few parties and just been like, hey, I'm starting a band, and I'm like, hey, I can play some music. And he's like, oh, wicked. And we sort of got together, it turned out he'd been asking people at parties for weeks, but no one called back in the morning, and I did. and so basically it was just like it's a lot more fun touring as a band than, well, I imagine, not that I know how it is to tour as a solo artist, but Dan's always said that it's always a lot more fun to travel and play as a group than as a solo artist. I suppose that's just his opinion. Obviously, there's loads of solo artists who tour and have entourage and all their friends come on and stuff. But he was just like, yeah, it's a lot more fun to sort of share it on stage with some more people. And because he's, he's so very awkward on stage as it is. I couldn't imagine him being on stage just by himself and have to deal with it. So now he can sort of pass that on to us.
Let me ask you this. At any time, either during the party or after the party or the next morning, were cats involved?
Unfortunately, no.
Okay.
I hadn't been struck with my passion for cats at this point. It was something that came to me a bit later in my life.
Okay, I was just wondering if that was something that he knew about you, and in order to kind of court you into the band, was like, I've got cats, Kyle. I've got cats.
Well, I mean, to be fair, I mean, that totally would have worked anyway, I imagine. Maybe he knew somewhere deep down inside, and maybe there were some cat references that I can't remember. Like I say, we were at a few parties and whatever. But I don't know. I mean, you know, a lot of the talk now is about cats, and that's maybe to make me stay. You know, who knows?
I want to play a little bit of Things We Lost in the Fire. Let's play a little bit of it and then come back and talk about it.
Things we lost to the flames. Things we'll never see again. All that we have amassed sits before us, shattered into ash.
Down the backs of
right, so that's Things We Lost in the Fire. I've checked out the music video, and you guys filmed it in Lithuania. Yeah?
Yes, yeah.
It was just a great place to film a music video, or how did that happen?
It was incredible, actually. My facts are a bit hazy on this place. Basically, I think it was like a huge sort of like rubbish dump, like a big site of just loads of trash. And basically, to try and get rid of it, they covered the entire land, not of Lithuania, just of the site we were filming on, with this kind of Plaster of Paris-esque sort of powder and stuff. And basically, it hardened, and then it's honestly almost like being on the moon. Like, this is massive, massive sort of plain of just white and sort of like hills and dips and ditches and stuff. And it's so weird and incredible. And that's how we got that sort of the sort of effect, you know, when everyone's sort of running across it and the car, and you get that sort of dream effect because there's nothing but just this sort of white, sort of dusty land, which is just incredible. The sort of places inside as well, they were all places we found in Lithuania. It's this incredible place that I'm not sure if anyone else has filmed there before, but it seemed quite sort of untapped and sort of unfound. And there's just this sort of amazing beauty to the whole land that hopefully we captured in the sort of in the video.
Yeah, it was interesting to me as I watched it. It reminded me a lot of just west of Salt Lake City. There's the Great Salt Lake and the Great Salt Lake Flats, where they have just miles and miles of a similar. It's salt in this case, but it's just that kind of desolate and almost moonscape-ish kind of thing that they do.
Yeah.
A lot of films like that out there. Films and the band are huge. Where's the passion come from? From, like, I mean, you guys are always referencing Twin Peaks and all these other movies. Is it just coincidence that all you guys love the movies, or how has that come about?
I'm not sure. I mean, I'm sure you'd be pretty hard done by to try and find someone who doesn't like films. I suppose it's the sort of genre of film that seemed to flow through the band, that we all like, oh, because like the sort of some horror films, like but the sort of like the sort of Scream and Final Destination kind of genre, you know, the sort of cut, like slightly tongue-in-cheek sort of stuff, and then obviously the Twin Peaks, but David Lynch as well, not only in the music but in the sort of visuals of the band, there are a lot of references to David Lynch.
Mm-hmm.
That was very much brought sort of by Dan, because Dan's like the sort of David Lynch's biggest fan, to the sort of the album cover. And obviously, like Laura Palmer from Twin Peaks, the song, and I suppose we all do have different tastes and stuff, but at the end of the day, it's quite nice to involve influences not just from music when trying to sort of make music. It's nice to bring it, you know, from film and from art and stuff, because I suppose you get like a different feel, and so that's why sort of the film was so sort of like such a big part of it all, and we all sort of take a lot of notice of that, and it's just a nice element to try and bring to the music and also to the sort of artwork and visuals of the band as well.
I want to play a little bit of Bad Blood and then come back and talk about that a little bit. So that's Bad Blood, and that's the title of the song, as well as the album. Let's talk about it. Was that the first one? Was that the last one to come together? Give me kind of the story of that.
Bad Blood wasn't the first song to come together from the album. It was relatively near the end, really, that Bad Blood came together. And also, interesting with Bad Blood, it was, I think, the quickest song in terms of it going from an idea to then being played as a band and then being recorded. Mm. And so it was all really exciting when it was happening, because like normally Dan would have some ideas and then he would sort of like fuel them out and rewrite them and go back and then bring it to the band and we'd try and sort of work it live and then he'd take it back and whatever. But Bad Blood seemed to just sort of sprout up sort of within a few months, I think it was, and it had this sort of great sort of vibe to it and stuff, and the name, obviously the song, but is the name Bad Blood, we felt was quite bold and sort of stark, just sort of as itself, and also sort of encapsulates the sort of ideas and themes that run through the album. And so we just thought, it would work perfectly as the album title, because it reflects sort of what's going on in the album and not just the song itself.
One of the things that I love that you guys do is that a lot of times you'll do acoustic performances of your songs, like Flaws live at Abbey Road, and then there's various other songs that you do with that. Is that just a further appreciation and experience with the music, or are you guys trained kind of with that classical?
I suppose it's always nice to try and get a different perspective on a song. There's by no means one way to play a song. I think personally, I think that if a song is good enough, it can be played sort of in full band, or it can be played just with one person at a piano, and it can still be sort of looked upon as it was meant to, and you can still completely enjoy the song, even though it's been stripped right back, and I suppose that's what I love about Dan's songwriting, is that he has the ability to write such a good song that we can go, oh well, look, we're here because we were lucky enough to get one day at Abbey Road to record some strings for our album, as we're here, let's try and play a song just with strings and see how that goes. And so I wouldn't say that any of us are good enough to be put in the sort of area of sort of classically trained musicians, and I suppose we get by, but it's always nice to play with people who are so esteemed in their genre and so sort of esteemed in their instrument that we always feel so lucky to be able to play with people who can play that well and stuff. And luckily, we've been in a few situations where they've been sort of welcoming enough to let us have a go, and it's been really nice, and it's always really nice to hear different interpretations of songs as well, I think.
Yeah. One last question, then I'll let you out. People always like to know where the name Bastille comes from. Not necessarily they want to know where the name Bastille comes from, but the name of the band when I do these interviews is. So where does that come from?
Well, Bastille was the name of the French prison. And basically, on the 14th of July is Dan's birthday. And so when we were trying to come up with a band name, which is always one of the most difficult sort of things to try and think about anyway, one of his friends was like, oh, well, your birthday's on Bastille Day. How about that? And it was sort of like, oh. Yeah, I mean, it sounds quite nice, and I suppose in England especially, it's not sort of the whole Bastille Day and the French Revolution isn't sort of as widely known as I think it is in sort of in other parts of the world, lots of America and Europe and stuff.
Hmm.
And so yeah, I suppose it just sounded quite sort of bold and we just kind of liked how it sounded, and that was it. It was just sort of Dan's birthday, And so now, when people bring it up, and it's just like, oh, it was the most egotistical thing ever. We'll just we'll name it after Dan's birthday. That'll be fine.
Oh, I love it. I love it. I can't wait to have you guys in town. I will make sure, and when we get this interview all ready to go, that you get a copy of it, and then you can just reply back, and you let me know if I need to be getting cats and a photographer for when you get here to Salt Lake.
Okay, for sure.
Because I'm willing, Kyle, but I don't want to be pushy. I'm not a cat pusher. I'm not, I don't want anything to happen that means that you wouldn't be able to leave Salt Lake and go to your next show. So you let me know, all right?
Okay, I'll let you know.
All right, thanks for taking a few minutes.
No problem.